What is your first name?
I'm Dustin Aker.
Dustin. Yeah. Okay. And do you wish to call Dustin or?
Right, so I'm Dustin Aker. I'm here with Joyce, and this is for Voices Ahead of the Curve. The date is Sunday, November 23rd. So why don't you start off with telling me where you're from?
Oh, well, I'm from Chicago, mm-hmm. and born and raised here. I've traveled a lot. This is where I was born.
Okay.
I guess I'm a little nervous.
No, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. And anything else?
What brought you to UD then?
Ah, that's a good question. Back in the 60s, when mm-hmm. I first went to university, it was 1967. Prior to that, my senior year of high school, my parents and I were trying to investigate different universities for me to go to. And it was our pastor at the church that I'm still affiliated with, mm-hmm. Presbyterian Church, that suggested the University of Dubuque. It was our pastor at mm-hmm. the Presbyterian Church, which I'm now affiliated with, that said, to my parents and me, you know, why don't you try the University of Dubuque? It's a Presbyterian college. And we had some other members of our church to send their children there, and that they were successful. And so that's when I first got the idea, well, let's try the University of Dubuque. And that's exactly where we settled on. And I can remember my first day at the university. As a matter of fact, I have a picture of my very first day at the university with my parents. And that very first day, I met up with the other students who were from my church as well. And they welcomed me. I met my big sister, whose name was Joanne. And she was going to be my mentor, sort of like, you know, some mm-hmm. big sister. And I also found out that on the very first day that I had to wear a beanie on my head that was royal blue and white. And I had to have that beanie on at all times. And that I should refer to upperclassmen as yes, ma'am, no, sir, that kind of thing, you know. And you know, I had to be respectful, which I'm always anyway, but it was kind of a welcome into our little group kind of thing, you know. And the next thing I can recall is that I began practicing for the freshman talent show. Mm-hmm. And that was during the first few weeks of me arriving at the university. We were having this freshman talent show. And we had to pick and choose people who might want to be, you know, in our little group of whatever we were going to do. Some people did skits. Some people did dances. Some people, you know, one person, I remember his name was Bill. He sang. And he had a beautiful voice. And he opened up his mouth and a fly flew in. and you could hear the laughter. I mean, probably my laughter, because I thought it was hysterical. And up until, even if I were to see Bill today, I would probably say, how did the fly taste? So, you know, all through the years that I was there, you know, that was just a running, ongoing joke, you know. My talent, I played the piano.
Okay.
And I played Moonlight Sonata. And I did quite well. Even though I was very nervous because mm-hmm. we had an audience and, you know, but it went well. And so those are the memories of my very first days, my first week, 2 weeks at the University of Dubuque. I also loved the landscaping.
Oh, yeah.
It's gorgeous. I'd never been to Iowa before.
Okay.
And Iowa would prove itself to be a challenge weather-wise.
Oh, yes, that is...
Weather-wise, it proved to be a real challenge with the hills, you know, and the snow and ice. Oh, man, yeah. So it was, it was an experience. The landscaping was beautiful. The buildings were gorgeous. I remember I was at Aitchison Hall. Is Aitchison still there?
Still there.
Yeah? Wow. Yeah. That was an all-girls dorm.
Yep.
Is it still all girls, or did they make it co-ed by now?
No, it's co-ed. The girls have one half and the guys have the other.
Wow, if we had tried something like that back in my day, oh my God, we would have gotten all kind of problems. You know, guys on the floor, oh my God, you know. So, but in the 60s, that was, you know, a no-no. The guys would walk us to the front door of Aitchison Hall, say goodbye, and leave. And of course, they always had spot checks, you know. Check your room, check your dorm room to make sure you're in by a certain time. I can't remember what the time was, maybe 10:30. And so that was Aitchison Hall. And then I had a roommate who, and her name was Bonita. She was from Chicago as well. And we got along splendidly together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in touch with her somewhat even now. And so that was a great, and I got to know the people around me, you know, and then I even got to know a few of the upperclassmen. And was it Severance Hall?
Yep.
That was an older building because Aitchison was kind of modern, more modern than, of course, Severance Hall was an older building. But I got to know a few of the upperclassmen at Severance Hall. And, I can always remember, oh, I'm so glad I'm in Aitchison Hall. I don't, you know, I'm glad I'm in Aitchison and not Severance. You know, I don't know why exactly, but I liked where I was. Yeah, and I kind of remember moving around from class to class. And my major at the time was elementary education. And I had a minor in music. And I can remember a team of professors, a husband and wife team. Dr. Mahmood and his wife, one taught ear and key skills and the other taught theory.
Okay.
And I struggled through those classes. I remember it. And I used to lie awake in bed thinking, I bet they're talking about me over the dinner table. What should we give her? Should it be a C or a D? You know, because I really didn't do very well in either one of those. Mm-hmm. So it was at that time that I said, maybe music isn't my thing.
Yeah.
So I decided to drop the music, you know, concentrate on elementary ed. But as you know, I didn't finish it. The University of Dubuque. Mm-hmm. I went on to National Lewis University and finished there, which there's a branch of that here. And then from there, I went to Lewis University for my master's degree. So I've done pretty well, you know, and I did secure a job working for the Chicago Board of Education. And I taught for 39 years.
Wow.
39 years of teaching.
Mm-hmm. Elementary teaching?
Mm-hmm. Right here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, and I taught science. Huh. I tell you, I went to the university really did this for me. I didn't like science. Mm-hmm. All through high school, I didn't like it.
Me either.
I know. But then I got to the university and I took 5 years of science. And now you think, how could you take 5 years of science and you were only there 2 years? So I just told a big story. I'm sorry. I took the science, and then when I went to the Lewis University, when I continued at the other universities,
okay.
I continued with science. So I took 5 years of science. But it was the University of Dubuque that really got me interested. I took geology. Mm-hmm. And... oh, I know what it was. I did take, it was semesters, or not years. each semester.
Okay, yeah.
It was something different. That's how I was able to take so many. And then I did take more when I went to National Lewis University. Mm. So, but there, the university is where I got interested in science, and so therefore I taught science to my students. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you feel welcome when you first came to Dubuque? Like, was there any, like, diversity barriers you had to...
Yeah, there were. I can't say that there were not, because mm-hmm. there were. I can recall going to the drugstore, which was down the street, and a little girl yanked at her mommy's coat or whatever and said, "Mommy, look, look, look," and pointing to me, being a black person, yeah. you know, and it's almost as if they had never, she had never seen a black person before, mm-hmm. because there weren't very many blacks then. There weren't that many blacks in Dubuque at the time. Mm-hmm. Basically, there might have been one family in that lived there, but most of the blacks that you saw were from the university, either from University of Dubuque or Clark College or Loras, you know, the mm-hmm. neighboring colleges. And that's about, you know, and it was kind of, it was new because I had never been someplace where, you know, I was in such a minority. Mm-hmm. And even on the university campus itself, there was unrest at times. You know, the 60s, especially the late 60s, it was all about black power and all this stuff, yeah. you know. And I remember the blacks on the university campus formed a group called the Black Presidium, mm-hmm. which was a group that allowed us to speak out and be heard in a civil type of way. Okay, and we would meet with or the spokesperson. I was just a part of the group, yeah. so I didn't really have a major role, except for I was a part of it. But they met with the president of the university at the time, and I've been trying to remember what the issue was, and I can't, I'm sorry. That would make it very interesting to know, but I can't remember what the issue was that we wanted at the time. You know, the blacks want this or that.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember, but I don't. But I remember that we had a sit-in in order to have this, whatever it was, you know, done. And that's about all I can remember about that. And only the sit-in is the only thing that I can remember. And back then, there were, you know, the thing to do was a sit-in, you know.
Yeah.
Or protest or a riot, and we weren't going riot that direction because we were a peaceful group.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's, you know, and I think that once we formed that group, the university listened to us, and I'm not certain whether we accomplished what we set out to do. I don't even remember. But that was just a sign of the times in the 60s, late 60s, you know. People were doing that at various universities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So was it any, like, culture shock when you moved from, like, Chicago to Dubuque? Or, I mean, I'm sure it was something.
You know, culture shock.
Like, compared to your high school to Dubuque?
Yeah.
Or...
don't remember it being any culture shock. Okay. I can remember feeling welcomed,
that's,
you know, yeah. and I can remember being happy,
mm-hmm.
yeah. first of all, to get away from home.
Yeah.
But second of all, you know, happy because I'm happy with my roommate, mm-hmm. happy with my surroundings. And I met a lot of people because I've always been pretty social,
yeah.
you know, and I met a lot of people. And at that time, I had heard that a famous movie star went there.
Yeah.
Tony Giadanza.
Yep.
Yeah, and his name was Giadanza, I understood, but he shortened it to Tony Danza.
Yep.
Okay, and I said, oh, wow, this is cool. I love this guy, you know. So, I mean, it made it all that much more interesting, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah.
Definitely had some people that said they came up to Dubuque from, like, the southern states, and it was just, like, huge culture shocks for
mm-hmm.
them. And, like, they, like, never been to a campus or school with the white students before.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, that's true. I hadn't either, but somehow or the other, I didn't feel that that was a problem. I do recall an incident with another student who came from the South. She was from Alabama, and mm-hmm. she would say, Alabama. And it's because, see, I had never really heard dialect before. Not that there's anything wrong with it, beautiful, you know, but she was a black girl, but very fair skin, very light skin. And she was from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Okay. And I can recall going to religion class, because we had to take religion classes,
still do.
Okay. And we were trying to find our way to the building. And there were a group of us, and I was following, you know, the group. Mm. And I asked her, do you know how to get to the building? She said, just follow your nose. And I thought, you know, that's not a very nice answer, you know. And so, but of course we got to know each other later and we got along just fine. But that was kind of a snooty answer. Yeah. And I just thought, well, what's she all about? You know, I just asked a question. Mm-hmm. So I guess she meant just follow the group. I don't know, you know, in her way. So
we've also had like a lot of people say like Dubuque was kind of like a bubble for them,
mm-hmm.
where like it kind of disconnected them from like all the stuff happening in the outside world, like with the civil rights and stuff.
Well, I think that that's maybe why we formed that Black Presidium,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe that might have been, you know, there was at was it Oberlin College? Oberlin in the day? No, wait a minute. Oberlin, I think, is in Ohio. Okay. I think that's Oberlin. Anyway, they were having a lot of unrest at this particular university, and we were following it pretty closely. And but we didn't want to go the route of riot and, you know, that kind of thing. So we did sit-ins. But, I don't know if I felt like I was in a bubble, because I think my main focus was school, trying to make it through my classes, you know, and having a good time.
Yeah.
So, and having a good time, yeah, we had a great time, you know. We partied some, we studied some, you know, and so.
The party's good back then?
Hmm?
Were the parties good back then?
Yeah, we were at the TGIFs in, what's the hall where? The Gathering Hall. Oh, gosh, I forgot the name of it. It was like a commons area.
Okay. Like the underground?
No. It was on campus. Yeah. But I can't think of the name of it. But it was the commons area where we would have all of our dances on Friday and that kind of thing, you know. So I would always be a part of that. And the other thing I remember that Dubuque did was bring in guest speakers and musicians to entertain us, which mm-hmm. was really cool. I can remember that several singing groups came, and that was pretty entertaining, you know. And then the speakers, we had a speaker, a very well-known black guy that I can't think of his name right now, but he was he came and spoke to us about things that that were pertinent for the times, mm-hmm. you know. Can't think of the guy's name. If I could think of his name, I'd be able to tell you a little more, because the wheels are turning right now, but I can't recall what his name was. But so they would have black people to come out and sing or dance or speak to the groups, mm-hmm. you know. And it wasn't just the black people that went, you know, everybody went. And so it was, but it was a connection, you mm-hmm. know, and it was a good thing. And I thought that was great, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you part of any orgs or any groups?
No more than the Freshman Talent Show. That was about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, do you have any, like, favorite teachers there?
Well, it wasn't the Mahmoods.
Yeah.
I used to dream of them, as I said, yeah. But I can't recall anyone but the Mahmoods. Isn't that funny? You know, as a teacher, we remember the naughty kids. Mm-hmm. We remember their names well into the years after. You know, do you remember so-and-so? Oh, he was a naughty kid. You know, just... And I can remember the Mahmoods just as, not that they were naughty, but I can remember them because they gave me more problems than anybody else. So I do remember that husband and wife team. But no, I don't remember any of the other professors. Mm-hmm. I remember, though, that I enjoyed geology a lot. So, and I don't recall who my professor was, but that's kind of at the time when I kind of thought, okay, this is cool. And I took zoology. That was cool. You know, that's when I really started understanding science. Mm-hmm. So whoever that professor was, I would love to give them a lot of credit because they certainly, you know, got me interested in the sciences, which when I never was before. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so then you transferred after 2 years, right?
Right. I transferred to another school, to another university, because I came back home.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your reasoning for transferring? I just wanted to get
confused. The reason for transferring was poor grades.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of struggled throughout. It was always something. You know, of course, I did a little bit of partying too, which, you know, and I was glad to be away from home. And yeah, I probably did a little too much of that and a little less of what I should have been doing. Mm-hmm. So I left there in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And then went on to get your teaching degree at another school? Hmm? You got your teaching degree?
Right. I got my teaching degree from National Lewis University,
okay,
which is here. And then I went on to get my master's degree.
Mm-hmm. And then
I got some hours. I had like 27 hours over my master's degree toward a doctorate, but I never really got into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have any like favorite memories of Dubuque?
Going over to Loras College, hooking up with the boys.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a favorite. And it was always nice to have Clark and Loras right there next door. You know, and mm-hmm. So that was good. At that time, Loras was an all-male, all-boys school, and Clark was the all-girls school. I'm probably sure they're probably co-ed now.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Both of them are.
Yeah, yeah. So it was always fun. But I'm sure there's some other memories that I have. Let's see. It was always good, even though I was glad to get away from home, it's still always good to have the parents come for parents' weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, attending the football games was exhilarating, and that was fun.
Why is that?
Hmm?
Why were they so fun?
You know what? I guess I never had been, because I didn't go to the games in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So going to the football game, the weather being cold, because it's football season, you know, and bundling up under a blanket, and you know, it just seemed like it was so much fun to see the guys out there playing, you know.
Yeah.
And then celebrating if the team won, you know, so that was always exciting. Yeah,
it was always fun time when they won.
How's the team doing?
They're good. I mean, they're decent. They mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I think they almost won conference.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
They've been all right this year, so
good. I can remember one guy on the team. His name was Ozell Green. He was really good.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite aggressive. He was an excellent player. Very aggressive. Yeah. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for fun, all you guys did was just party on the weekends, or?
Yeah, for fun. And we would, like I said, we would have the TGIFs on mm-hmm. Friday. And I would try to go to those. It was just a dance, you know, a mingle type of thing, you know, a dance. And we would go to a restaurant. Darn, I haven't forgotten this restaurant. I don't know the name of it.
Yeah.
As I, you know, it's been a lot since the 60s, you know. But this particular restaurant was in the area because no one had a car.
Mm-hmm.
So we would walk to the restaurant, and they had the best corned beef sandwich. And I tell you, they would make it in such a special way until It was perfect. Not only the corned beef, but as and really even more so than the corned beef, the Braunschweiger. It was a German restaurant. Yeah, because they would have Braunschweiger. And this, the way they made it, it was like on black bread with onion and pickles. And I had never had, I'd had liver sausage, you know, sandwiches. But this was sliced Braunschweiger on black bread with pickles, cucumbers, it was and onions. It was a marvelous combination.
That sounds
good. And I tell you what, I try to make that even today. You know, I swear, I try to duplicate it because it's in my memory how it tasted. And of course, I have never really had mine taste exactly the same way, but it comes pretty close.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can remember this. Yeah, it's a German restaurant because people would order a lot of beer, and I really wasn't a beer and still am not a beer drinker, you know, but they'd have that sandwich, either the corned beef or the Braunschweiger beer, you know, and that would be a hangout thing for after TGI Friday, after the TGIFs, you know.
And... how was I gonna say? I just slipped my head.
Mm. Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Lots of things. Oh, I remember. It slipped your mind, but I remember Dick Gregory is the speaker who came. The black.
Oh,
guy.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Dick Gregory came and spoke. So yeah, and that popped in.
Yeah, when I forgot.
When you forgot, I remember Dick Gregory is the guy. Yeah.
Have you ever been back to Dubuque?
Yes, I have. I have been back. Only once. Okay. And it was a part of a tour. And at that time, I had two children. So we went on a train ride. Mm-hmm. My sister and her daughter, also, our kids were very small. And my mom took a train ride to Dubuque, Iowa.
Okay.
And the idea of the train ride was to see the fall colors, the trees turning colors, you know. So we went back to Dubuque. The train station. What was the name of that train station? It really wasn't in Dubuque, but it was close by. Or maybe it was in Dubuque. I'm not sure. But anyway, we pulled into the train station and we took the public transportation at the time and went over and just passed through and looked around, you know, the university. Didn't go in, didn't see anyone, just kind of passed through and looked and saw, you know, the different buildings. Of course, this has been, my kids are in their 30s now. Mm-hmm. So this has been like 20 some odd years ago that I went back and just kind of glanced at the university.
It's gotten pretty big. Huh? It's gotten pretty big now.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that something? I can imagine. Not a lot of new buildings.
Oh, yeah.
Did you keep any of the old, well, Severance Hall is still there. Aitchison is still there.
They're still there. Cass at Donnell.
Oh.
And they just put in a Heritage Center, which is this giant performing arts building, a new football indoor field.
Really?
New dorms are getting put up. It's getting really big.
Oh, okay. So the number of students have, of course, increased and things are going pretty well?
I think we're at like 3,000, 2,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty big.
Wow, yeah. So, are any black students still there?
Yes, actually in Iowa, Dubuque is the most diverse campus there is.
Is that right?
Yep, so.
Okay, all right. You know, I can remember that Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Brenda was her name. She settled there.
Did she?
Yeah. She married a guy from the school, and they settled at that time. I don't know if they're still there, but they lived there after school. And, of course, that's what I had heard, that they moved in, you know, and got married, and they're still in Dubuque, you know. And I said, oh, wow, that's cool. So I do know that one family was there at least for some time after she graduated. Mm-hmm. I didn't graduate, but, you know, my roommate and others, you know, kind of kept me informed about things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say it's, I like the diversity, like just all the people you get to meet and kind of just brings all of us closer.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad the school is doing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're also, it's the 100th year anniversary of McCormick Gym.
Oh,
did you have, okay, like, any memories there?
McCormick Gym.
The one with the swimming pool?
I don't think so. Except for I tried to get out of going to swim. It was mandatory. You had to take swim. But I tried my best to get out of going to swim. I guess the water scared me.
Yeah.
So I would try to get out of going, but that's all I can remember. Yeah, not much in the sports department, yeah. I was. So I did like to watch the guys playing football, but not in any other sports line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You still talk to anyone that you met there?
Yeah, my roommate, I do talk to her. She's in North Carolina. And Pam, who is here, is in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her just recently, actually, at the grocery store, yeah, when I was still living in Chicago, because I've moved to Oak Park now. But I saw her in the grocery store, and so we chatted, and I can remember inviting her to go someplace or the other, but she called and said she was unable to go. So, but Pam, and let's see, who else do I see or speak with? That's basically about it. Yeah. I recall that when my roommate's mom passed away, I got to see a lot of people, you know, and that I had gone to school with, some from Loras, some from Clark, some from the University of Dubuque. Mm-hmm.
So you had friends like in Loras, Clark?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it just...
Yeah, it was like we were like one big happy family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no one just kind of stayed put, everyone just kind of...
Yeah, spread out. Because I was surprised to see Pam. Now, well, I kind of knew that Pam was still in the city of Chicago, but I had lost touch with her until I saw her at the Jewel Food Store. And we exchanged numbers and everything. And so she was a year above me. So she was like, when I was a freshman, she was a sophomore. Or else a junior. I can't really recall. But... She lived across the hall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's about it. I don't see anybody else. And my roommate married a fellow from Loras College.
Really?
Uh-huh. But I think now they're divorced. But I can remember going to their... I was in their wedding. And so that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So overall, you'd say UD was great. Good 2 years?
Oh, yeah. It was a good 2 years. It was a good 2 years. It was. I was glad to go, and I was sad to leave, you know. But under the circumstances, as they were, you know, I did that to myself. So, but, yeah. My roommate in college, though, she took advantage of the exchange program, which they had back then.
Mm-hmm.
And she spent 2 years in Germany.
Really?
Mm-hmm. As a part of the exchange program. So she, I thought that was really cool.
Like UD, you'd say would help you out with your future?
Hmm?
UD helped out your like future life?
Right. If I had done that, if I had done the exchange program?
Or no, it's all in general, your 2 years.
Oh, there. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I made friends, you know, and I have stayed in touch with a few of them, and I do believe it kind of helped to shape my life.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, like I said, the science certainly shaped my life because that's the profession I decided to go into.
Yeah.
So, and I decided that even though I wasn't that great with music, maybe I thought I was pretty good, but evidently, the husband and wife team didn't. I'm still in the music line. I mean, I still continue. You know, I have a beautiful acoustic guitar that I play.
Yeah.
I play piano still, so.
I guess you don't need them telling your band.
Right, yeah. So they didn't really hold me back as far as my dream was concerned, you know. But they probably helped me to realize, oh, you're not as good as you think you are. But I still kept on with it, you know. So, yeah, I have great memories of Dubuque.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And and even though people used to say University of Dubuque back in the day, I never agreed with them at all. Yeah. I thought it was marvelous.
Yeah, see, that happens. A lot of students, like, they come there and then they drop out right away.
My friend who went to my church, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon went there the year before I did. And that was one of the students that the pastor had talked about. We've sent several of our kids there, you know.
Yeah.
And so Sharon went there and she decided right away she did not like it. And so she came right on back to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't spend hardly any time at the university.
Yeah.
I'm not saying a week, but it might have been a month or two. She knew right away this is not for her, so she didn't stay.
Yeah, I have two of my roommates are from Chicago, and they're like it's completely different than what they grew up with and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've been here for 4 years now together, though. So,
Oh, okay.
So, I fell in love with the campus the second I stepped foot on it.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
I can also remember another student, Proctor, who was from my church. He stayed there, and he married a girl. He married a white girl from there, and they left during the time of the Vietnam War going on there? What war was going on? I guess it was maybe Vietnam. They drafted him. Well, even while he was in college,
really?
They drafted him, and he and his wife fled to Canada. And that was like a big thing because they just left the university in the night and went to Canada to avoid the draft.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still up there?
I don't know. I never. he was a part of my church, but I didn't know him that well. He was an older than I was, so I didn't know him that well to even know. I knew his family, you know, because they attended the church, but I don't know. I don't know if he's still in Canada or not. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
So during that time, you know, it was a lot of stuff going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what years were you at UD again?
67 through 69.
So, like, that was during the time of Vietnam. What was it like on campus?
I don't recall ever dealing with it at all. You know, like I said, I was just kind of, you know, in the moment of things at the university. So I really wasn't into the wars. That's why him leaving to dodge the draft and going to Canada, that was such a shock to me. It's like, what? You're doing what? You know, or yeah, that kind of thing. And yeah. So, but no, it didn't shake me one way or the other, you know?
Was it appearing on campus that the Vietnam War was going on? Or like, did students like talk about it? Or
we may have, but I don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, might have been, but it probably was during the time when Proctor left, you know, that was all a buzz, you know, and you know, so it might have been quite a bit of talk about it at that time, but I don't remember anything else about the war going on and how it's affecting except for the fact that he was drafted and that he left. He wasn't going to go.
Okay. Do you have any questions for me at all?
Oh, I thank you. This was a great interview. I'm very happy that you came and that you listened to me. And even though I didn't think I really had that much to say, but
got a good amount.
Oh, thanks. Okay, but this was a very good interview, and I'm happy to have met you, and I'm happy that we had this time together.
Anything else you want to share?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.